Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the man who's the Applebee's of podcasters. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our Survivor Feedback Show here for episode number 5 of Survivor Island of the Idols. And I'm very excited to welcome this guest back to the podcast to answer so many of your questions. She is a woman who went out to Survivor Ghost Island. She knows what it's like to visit an island that is filled with advantages. And now she knows what it's like also to leave voicemail questions as well.
Hey, Robbio.
Please welcome our great friend, Kellen Bechtold. Kellen, how are you?
Heyo, Robbio.
Yes. Heyo, Kellen B.
How's it going, Rob?
It's going great. Kellen, it's so nice to hear from you.
Yeah, it's fun. I'm so excited to be here talking about IOI. I think that's what the cool kids call it.
Yeah. Did you call it GI?
No, no, I didn't. Maybe I missed out on that. No, but,
yeah, Steven had GI distress, when he went out on Survivor.
Yeah. I was just thinking GI is a little bit too close to that other G word that I prefer not to use all that often anymore. So, the stomach references, try to stay away from those.
Yes. All right. Well, Kellen, I'm very excited to talk through everything that I was saying before we came on about how, I know that it's Coach basically covered everything. So I don't know how much there is left for us to talk about from this week's episode.
Yeah. I'm just a lowly bench warmer over here. Not even sure what's left to say. But
basically covered every single thing going on in this episode. So I don't know how much we have to talk about here that's left. That would be new ground.
I think he really covered everything about Boston, Rob, and Sandra. Yeah. So,
and they really weren't even in this episode. So, no, in all seriousness, we have a lot to get into here today. We have, a whole Applebee's fajita size portion of Survivor goodness to talk about.
The shrimp, the chicken, and the steak.
Yes. Okay. So, before we talk some Survivor, how's everything going for you, Kellen?
Everything's going great here in Denver, Colorado. It's beautiful. A high of like 70 something here today, and then
nice.
It's supposed to snow tonight.
What?
Kind of the way of the Denver way. And I've been homesick for like the last 2 or 3 days.
Oh no, what's wrong?
I think I have a viral cold, nothing too serious, but it knocked me out a little bit.
Okay. Well, thank you for toughing it out and not calling in sick to the podcast. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I hope it's kind of annoying sometimes to listen to people who are like, sound like they're talking in a tin can. So
yes.
Trying to speak very clearly.
No, you sound good. You sound good. And
right,
I appreciate you, even if you're under the weather, coming on to talk about everything with us. So, all right, here we are, 5 episodes in to the Island of the Idols. What's been your reaction so far?
So I was feeling real, like the first 3 episodes, I was really liking the season. You know, Elaine was getting her moment. There was blindsides on Ronnie and Molly. I felt like really great. The last 2 episodes, I'm like starting to not be as engaged. My mom texted me yesterday and she was like, it was really boring. So if Mama Bechtold is starting to get bored, I don't know if that's a good sign.
Hmm.
How are you feeling about the season?
No, I still feel like it's fun. I'm enjoying this cast. I'm a little bit concerned about the direction over these next couple episodes. I think that we could potentially be in a lull before we get to the merge if this ends up holding form where, you know, we are in this situation where I don't know if you can imagine a scenario like this where purple is really beating up on orange and orange once again is down in the dumps. And I'm worried that we could see a scenario where a few more people from the original Lyro tribe end up getting picked off here in these next couple of weeks. And I feel like that we could be kind of predictable until the merge.
It's possible, although I see the although poor Tom didn't make the cut, but Dean and Karishma really did something that maybe a few other people in Orange that I might have some experience with didn't do, which is immediately Dean and Karishma started to build bonds with the majority. And they did not in any way, it didn't appear, try to stick together. And so that might add a little bit more spice to the sauce, because it looks like Karishma and Dean are both fighting really hard to jump into the majority. So I like that opportunity a little bit better than maybe in other seasons where the minority like just insisted on sticking together.
Yeah. Well, I do feel like that there are some parallels to from this season to the season that you played on. Obviously that we have sort of like the similar mechanic with Ghost Island and the Island of the Idols. And then we do have the original Purple Tribe, this time in Vokai, really sticking strong while Orange has been very fractured and turning against one another. Do you think that we will have a similar season to Ghost Island as we continue into the merge?
Who would you think would be, I think the difference would be that I don't see a dominating pair. In fact, I'm having trouble filtering out who might win the season, which is what's been fun. Nobody has been getting like a perfect edit or is playing the perfect game. Everyone, even Tommy, who is getting a pretty good edit, like they showed him, I don't know, this is inappropriate, but they showed him like getting banged into stuff during the blindfold challenge and kind of looking like a goofball. So like even...
That hurts your winner equity of if you end up crashing into stuff with the blindfold where they wouldn't want to show the winner in a negative light, because that the winner should be able to see even when blindfolded.
I mean, maybe Wendell Holland like banged into a few things while he was out there, but they wouldn't have showed it, right?
Yeah. Did you guys do a blindfold challenge?
We did. We did.
Okay. And how did Wendell do?
Wendell actually may have been the caller.
Oh, see? That explains everything. That ideally, yeah, the person who becomes the caller, that's the person.
Maybe not, actually. Oh, gosh. You guys are going to eat me up on this. I actually don't remember.
What was it? When you guys swapped to three tribes? Was that what it was?
It's when we swapped and we were so far ahead.
In fairness, you were blindfolded, right?
I was blindfolded. That is the worst. That was the most crushing
moment. Oh, you don't have to tell me.
Moment.
You don't have to tell me. I'm not a fan.
I mean, I was okay because we voted James out, but we were so far ahead. And then Des was trying to tell me how to do the puzzle, but kind of forgot that I couldn't see. So it was a very sad moment.
Kellen, would you rather be blindfolded in a challenge or have to wiggle on the sand?
Oh, blindfolded.
Did you have to do that sand challenge?
No, thank God.
Yeah.
Why do they do that to these people?
I don't get it. I don't get why they like it so much.
I do not enjoy, like, literally they show the challenge. I start having flashbacks to Ryan, like trying to wiggle around. Like it sticks in your brain, but not in a good way. It just seems, cruel.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Let's get some questions going from the listeners. And why don't we start off with a question from one of our listeners? Here is Tori from Michigan, who has a question for you about potentially throwing these next couple of challenges for the new Laro tribe.
Hi, Robin Kellen. This is Tori from Michigan. Robin Stevens discussed on the Know-It-Alls whether the Vokai members of new Laro should throw the challenges to ensure a Vokai majority at the merge. However, if they do that, it gives new Vokai a lot of time to bond with their Laro members. Would this put them at a disadvantage after the merge when Vokai has to turn on each other? They would have voted out all their potential Laro allies while new Vokai has theirs. Let me know what you think.
Okay. Kellen, so where we're different from Ghost Island is, first, you guys had a swap, and then you guys swapped from two tribes to two tribes, and then there was a second swap where then you swapped from those tribes of two, then you went down to three tribes before you guys went to the merge. So that's where this is a little bit different. I think that from at least a TV show perspective, I like what they've done here, where we're with one group, and then if we're going to have a swap, then, okay, let's just do it once, hopefully, although I think it would have been more fun just to have left the tribes alone and to see what was going to happen with these groups that we got to know. Either way, so where we have this idea of potentially new Lyro throwing a challenge, that do you feel like, is that really advantageous for the four members of the original Vokai tribe to be able to form more bonds with the people that they don't have to go to a tribal council with?
I feel like Tori's right on it. Like, wow, it does seem like a good way. You're fine. You can get through a few votes because you have the strong majority. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a traditionalist. I don't mean it in like a, oh, I'm a sports person who would never throw a game kind of way. Like, I don't care about the honor of it, but you just don't know what's going to happen. An idol gets played, votes get thrown your way at the last minute. I don't think you should ever throw a challenge as a team.
Yeah.
Individually, absolutely. But as a team, I think you should just try, because it doesn't point at any one person. There's no negative other than you just get an automatic free stamp. I know people disagree with me, but it's still really early in the game. How many people do we have left?
That there are 15 people.
They're 15?
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems a little early to be throwing things. Maybe, you know, Dom says he threw the challenge like right before the merge to cut up a big group. That makes sense. But who are they trying to keep apart?
Well, what's interesting about that is that, so to go back to Ghost Island, where Dominic has said that, yes, that they threw the challenge to be able to vote out Bradley before the merge. And now, of course, Dominic and Bradley were both original Navidi people. And so in that case, that was not that, okay, let's throw a challenge to be able to jettison one of these other people that's from the other tribe. That Dominic did that as a way to be able to go after somebody that he thought was a threat that was from his original group, which might be interesting in terms of the group that's 4-4. If there's some sort of a, you know, a rogue element that's part of that original Vokai group, could they throw a challenge and say, hey, we're going to vote out this person, and so we'll vote with you guys, we'll flip?
These are all possible things. I just, and maybe I'm being like boring, didn't play the game on Ghost Island Kellen, but it just doesn't seem like the risk is worth the reward. I'm just not sure what reward they're getting out of it. And even the current Lyro tribe, I'm looking at it here, Nora, Jamal, Kelly, Janet, and Jack. Do any of those five really gain anything by having Karishma, Dean, or like, they, it's cool if they're still hanging around. So
yeah,
I don't know. I could see it's boring, I guess. Yeah. Feel the other way.
The risk would be, I would think, is that you have those groups of four and you don't know how the group of four, the two sides of four are going to shake out.
Oh, you mean on Vokai.
Well, I guess we're talking about, the question was originally on the new Lyro of the people that were from Vokai. But I did throw out there that it would be what Dominic did would be similar if the new Vokai decided to throw a challenge. But for new Lyro, where you have five people from the original Vokai, should they be throwing these next two challenges?
No way.
No.
No, why?
I think I would do it, Kellen.
So Nora, Jamal, Kelly, Janet, and Jack.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get back over with Dan, Jason, Tommy, and Lauren. Any of those five people have major bonds on the other side?
Now, if you're Jamal, I could see why Jamal might not be up for this. Because for Jamal, I think that he wants some sort of a shakeup to the status quo. Because that he was part of the group with Jack and with Molly, that there ended up being this coup against them where Molly got voted out. So I do think that if you're Jack, if you're Jamal, you would like to have those two fours go to a tribal council just to see what shakes out.
That's fair. Just to see what happens over there, that that makes sense. It's just throwing yourself out to be chopped off for just a little bit more information. I don't know. But then again, I play this game too safe. So, but Kelly, no way in heck should she, like, Karishma and Dean are essentially both like begging Kelly to take them under her wing. Mm-hmm. Also, it seems like Janet was building a relationship with them. Not with Dean. That's right. Yeah. Ooh, I want to talk about that later. But with Karishma, like, wanting to be a part, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like they're picking up numbers right now.
Yeah.
And Karishma and Dean both are on the outs. First of all, Dean just mm-hmm. got blindsided. Karishma doesn't have any friends. Like, they're already kind of outsiders who are looking for a home. I don't think you want to jump the gun and get rid of them. I would say, come here, little birds, come to my nest.
Right. So I'm very interested because I feel like that your season is, you know, weighs very heavily on these Survivor players. And I wonder if the people who are donning the purple buff this season, I wonder if and we've talked about a lot about how, you know, Laurel has been dragged for, you know, many seasons now since you guys played of like, hey, got to make a move. You don't want to be like Laurel and wait too long to make a move, which is not very nice. Laurel is a very nice person. I don't know, people shouldn't say mean things about her, but they feel like the Survivors, I feel like, in their pregame interviews talk about, oh, I gotta make a move. And we've seen that blindside. And so, Kellen, I think that the idea of purple strong, I don't know if the Survivors are going to necessarily have that mindset, or if a couple of them do. I think there might be a substantial amount of people that are saying like, no, I can't do that. That'd be too boring.
I agree with you. Recency bias for sure. And I think it's great. I hope that people jump ship quickly. It makes it so much more fun to watch. Pagonging is never a fan favorite. And so it will be great. This season will turn around next week if Vokai has to go to tribal next week. It'll mm-hmm. be really fun to watch. So,
yeah. Also, as we're talking this through, just looking at the people that are from the old Vokai who are on this new Lyro tribe in mm-hmm. Nora, Jamal, Jack, Kelly, and Janet. We have Kelly, who she has this idol, which I think could be used for her next three tribal councils. So the longer that Kelly can put off going to a tribal council, the longer her idol could work. So I think that Kelly is actually very incentivized to not want to go to a tribal council. We talked about why Jamal may want the other tribe to go to tribal council. And Nora, I could see her not really wrapping her head around wanting to throw a challenge. So there might be a substantial majority of these people. I could see Janet also saying like, oh no, I would never throw a challenge. So while it might make sense to throw a challenge, that I feel like that this group, Jack in the episode talked about how they need a W so badly. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe even though I think it makes sense to throw a challenge, that I feel like that maybe they're not thinking that way.
I don't think this group will. Nora, she's finally like maybe feeling a little bit safe. I'm not sure that she should, to be honest. But to me, and it's come up really quickly here, but Kelly to me is in the best spot right now, is playing the best, is in a great position at this point. Mm. I would say that if I could put money on it, I would say that tribal Wednesday night would have gone however Kelly wanted it to go.
Yeah, because Kelly was the person that she had a connection with Karishma. She had a connection with Dean. And it seemed like that Tom was the one person who didn't really have a bond with Kelly. Now, I actually thought that it was Janet who made the call. Why do you feel like that it was Kelly more than Janet?
Kelly is just coming across to me as so, so smart. And Janet is doing a great job as well. I think the two of them are paired, like in all of the original Vokai, all the original purple. Those yeah. two might be looking like the tightest two actually together. And I love that pair. But I think Kelly, I mean, she's went to Wharton and where else. Like, I think she is smart as a tack.
Harvard.
And the way
she went to Harvard parties.
Harvard. Like, if you watch the way she changes, the way she speaks to different people to relate to them, like, she that girl is gold. I think Kelly's doing a great job. She has the idol in her pocket. She's just really easy to get along with. And even just the difference in the way she approached Karishma, she was like warm and like, oh, come, you know, gave her a big hug, like, welcome here. And then she was like a little bit flirty with Dean, like, oh, now I can be the cute girl who knows your ex-girlfriend. Like, the way she's playing all those different personalities, I think is a really great.
What did you make about that? How Kelly knew this ex of Dean's?
I think that it's really fun. I can't imagine going out there and like finding a real life connection like that. That's different than, oh gosh, who was it? Like Allie and Patrick before were like,
oh yeah, they both went to, was it Auburn?
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure. But they yeah. knew.
He helped her move a couch, together. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's like more nerve wracking, I would think. Like, oh, if people found out about this, da 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 da. But this could just be like a bonding moment and it's not threatening, I don't think. So how fun would that be to be like, oh my gosh, I know. Well, I don't know about it being his ex-girlfriend. That might not be so fun, but what a fun little thing to figure out. And that the survivor gods didn't figure that out beforehand is really fun.
Yeah. I have speculated that I think that they must have realized this in casting because it seems so weird that I'm talking about the players, not production, where that how random is it that like the first day they meet each other, they were able to, you know, make that connection.
I don't know. Those smart folks at Harvard know each other. Maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
We had this a lot on Big Brother over this past season. Also, a lot of people that knew each other.
Oh, yeah. I didn't watch Big Brother this season, but I probably missed out.
Yeah. Depends who you ask. Okay. All right.
What do you think of Kelly's game?
I think that she's been very good so far. You know, that in the first episode, when, you know, we were sort of, you know, we really just got the edit about how that, you know, her interactions with Dan and how she was uncomfortable with that. And for whatever reason, I didn't really feel like that was, you know, highlighting her as like a strategic player. But then she went to the Island of the Idols that second time and then came back with the hair idol. And no, I think it's been, you know, all very promising since that point.
Yeah, I.
Because Rob and Sandra taught her to listen to people.
Oh dear. Too bad Coach wasn't there. Then she would have won for sure.
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
I'm not sure that she's going to pull out the win necessarily. I'm just saying, I think she ran that. I think she has everyone lined up doing what she wants them to do, and is doing it with a killer smile. I love watching Kelly.
Yeah, she's been really good so far. I feel like from the preseason also, I wasn't getting really great vibes from her preseason interviews and bios. I feel like that we were sort of down on her in the preseason, but you know, she's been one of the surprises of the season.
Yeah, I'm enjoying that. So don't throw the challenge though, you fools.
Okay. All right. So you don't think we'll see any challenge throwing on either side. I feel like that while I think that it, you know, strategically there is merit to it, then I feel like that it can be potentially boring to watch. So I would be happy to see if we didn't have challenge throwing in these next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I don't know. I think Dina and Karishma, man, there's just something about, I think Dean is probably going to make it to the merge somehow.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question about this on this very subject. Let me play a voicemail for you from Jack from Boston.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Kellen. This is Jack from Boston calling. Kellen, this question is for you. So in Ghost Island, you are most famous for being the matriarch of the Navidi Strong movement, which kept your original tribe mostly intact throughout the swaths and the pre-merge and the majority of the post-merge. So my question is, in this new Lower tribe, we're kind of seeing them in a similar situation as Navidi was, being in a 5-3 majority against the old Lyra members. However, in this particular case, Versus your case, the Malolos were pretty unified in Brendan, Stephanie, Michael, and Jenna, whereas the three Lyra members here were more than willing to throw each other under the bus. So my question is, do you think that there's a chance that Dean and or Charisma could potentially make it out of this situation intact and get to the merge, similar to how Michael was able to in your season, because they're not together, and maybe they could have some more wiggle room in the Vokai 5 strong alliance? Anyways, love to hear your thoughts.
Okay. Do Dean and Charisma potentially both have longevity because of the fact that they are not seen as people that are aligned?
Jack from Boston, thank you for the question and calling me the matriarch of Navidi. I appreciate
that. You like that?
Yeah, it felt nice, even though people shit on me for it all the time. That was still nice.
What do people say? That?
Oh, just like I ruined this season, Navidi strong, blah, 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 blah. You know, that old tale.
Come on.
But what is really, really cool here is to think what would have happened if I really wanted to play with Brendan in my season. Mm. And I even went and talked to him and said, like, hey, will you come over and talk with me? And there was just no movement there. Now, you could say we overplayed. We were kind of jerks about it probably. But I would have definitely been open. We would have taken someone in. And I think that Dean and Charisma are doing exactly what they should do. And look, it burned Tom. He was like, well, you guys are the majority. You guys get to pick what you want to do. Like, it doesn't seem like he was like, hey, I'll come work with you, and this is why. So I think Dean and Charisma are playing it exactly right. If you're in the minority, you have to jump ship immediately. You just can't bank on the fact that they're going to try and stick together, especially in a 5-3 situation. And also, I think what you start doing, and I assume this is what they're doing also, is starting to give calculated dirt on Missy, Elizabeth, Aaron, and Elaine, saying, hey, these are the people. This is why I would work with them. This is why I wouldn't work with them. This is who could be in our numbers, and try to create like a little minority group, a voting block that, say, Kelly or Janet or Jamal would feel comfortable moving with. And the fact that Nora was on the outs, I think that also gives Karishma and Dean a little bit more space to work their way in.
Mm-hmm. When you were in this type of situation where I know at the vote where you had to decide between Michael and James Lynn to who was going to go home, how did you make that decision?
So exactly tying into this, Michael had come to us and had said to me, and Bradley had said, when it came down to the Michael, Jenna, or Johnson vote, like, Michael had jumped ship first and started pitching himself and saying, like, this is why I'll come work with you. You know, I'm dead in the water without you. I'm a vote with you once we get to the merge, blah, 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 blah. And so because Michael had jumped ship and started to pitch himself, when that swap happened, he had started to build a relationship with me. When now James comes in, is in a new person, a new face, and Michael got to stay another day. So more reasons for building bonds and getting yourself out of that minority as soon as possible.
And Michael, though, is so different than Charisma in terms of somebody to move forward with, because then you're always scared that, okay, Michael is going to go on a run. He's going to win immunities, right? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I feel like that with taking Charisma with you, you're not going to have that same concern.
Oh my gosh, I would have loved to have a Charisma type or even Jenna coming to me saying, like, hey, I want to work with you. It would be amazing to have people who you think are probably not likely to beat you in challenges and probably not likely to take the votes from you at the end. I'm not trying to be cruel about Charisma, but it doesn't seem like she would have the strength and voice necessarily to fight for herself for the money at the end. So when Charisma, if I were Kelly and Charisma came up to me in that vulnerability, I would just swoop it right up.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about our reward this week, Kellen. I know a lot of people are from this episode very much burned an impression in people's minds about the Applebee's reward. I feel like that this is one we're going to talk about for years on the podcast.
Hey, Survivor really got their bang for their buck for like waiting for so long without having a sponsored thing, because now Applebee's is all over the Survivor chat.
I don't think it's been that long, because in season 35 at the merge, there was like a long sequence that we had Outback Steakhouse at the Survivor merge.
Yeah.
And so I feel like Outback has been on like two or three times. There was the time famously when Sandra got to go to the Outback. I think also in Cagayan, there was Outback stuff. So the Outback showed up from time to time. But I think that maybe that there was all the hubbub because this is a new sponsor. A new restaurant has shown up on Survivor. And hopefully it's the first of many. Many appearances for Applebee's.
And that Shark Bowl. I mean, that really just caught your eye. Like, don't you want to go? Now, no shade to Applebee's, but I would lose it if it was Chili's. Like,
Chili's is your place.
Chili's is my place. If I'm going to choose between Applebee's and Chili's, definitely going with Chili's. But out there, Applebee's, it looked good. It looked
Ooh, Chile.
It
looked so good. Yeah. So, what do you get at Chili's?
Well, they have this like 2 for $25 yes. meal where you, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And it's enough food for me for like two meals. So it's actually like, even if I go with someone and usually I get them to pay, I get two meals out of it for free. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know. We have a Chili's that's in our neighborhood, and my kids are like petrified because the Chili's logo is like a big hot pepper. And they're like, Dad, don't take us to the hot pepper store.
Oh.
We don't want to go get hot peppers. I'm like, all right,
so you're an Applebee's family.
No, I don't think my kids have ever been to an Applebee's. That when I was listening to the voicemail, and that I was like going through all of the different calls and people were talking about Applebee's, my son Dominic was like, oh, Applebee's, Dad. I'm like, oh, wait, have you gone there? He's like, no, that's on Survivor, Applebee's. Yes, oh. Yes, you're right. You're right. No, that's what it's
huge.
Known for, Applebee's. But I've been to certainly my fair share of Applebee's. I'm not enough of a foodie to scoff at going to Applebee's, Kellen.
Oh, hell no. I'm not either. I'm a fast food addict. So like Chili's and Applebee's, that's like a step up for me.
Yeah. Okay. Why? What's your go-to fast food place?
It's like really torn, but I can't pass up McDonald's. Probably my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
McDonald's, Taco Bell, Arby's, and Wendy's. All four of those.
Okay.
Tie.
All right. Let's see. First of all, I have a question for you that is from one of our listeners on Twitter who wants to know. Jonathan Rose wants to know, how much Applebee's can Kellen fit in her gut? I'm guessing she goes straight for the gummy sharks.
Yeah, I would. I loved the gummy shark. Like, that looked so good. I would have definitely gone straight for the shark bowl, yeah, for sure. And I feel like I could have put down, I don't know. So I didn't get that many rewards, if you all remember. I mm-hmm. ate at the, and by that many, I shouldn't have even used plural. I ate at the merge and then I only went on
yes.
one reward.
Yes, it was a perfect day though. Sandwiches,
perfect,
if I remember.
It was perfect day. Brownies.
Yes.
I could have put down that Applebee's out there.
Yeah.
For sure. I think I could have finished a whole plate.
Okay. Well, let's hear Jeff describe the restaurant here for everybody. And we get a big reaction from our survivors.
It's the biggest reward of the season. And we wanted to make it special.
Oh my God.
So we brought...
Wait, why did it have a special reward on episode 5? Why is it the biggest reward of the season right now? Isn't this weird?
It feels weird.
Feels weird. Okay. All right, here we go.
Applebee's to feed you.
What a reaction from the crowd.
Oh, they just pulled it off so well. I think part of it is while you're out there, as you know, you talk about food the whole time.
Yeah.
And you talk about, if you were at this restaurant, what would you get? If you were at this restaurant, what would you get? Like mm-hmm. over and over and over again. So it is really fun that a Applebee's showed up and catered it for them. And yeah, that reaction is hilarious.
Yeah, I know. Some people have said like, oh, well, they had to fake it to be able to. But no, any restaurant, the survivors would be that excited to get any meal from.
I think so. No shade at Applebee's, but I think any restaurant, it's like if they, you know, some people like shit on fast food, but if they're like McDonald's, like people would be like, oh my God, like it's just fun to have it be something from home, you know, food that you haven't had for forever. It's fun.
Yeah. Well, listen to exactly what they're going to get. All right. here's Jeff's description of some of this stuff.
You'll enjoy Applebee's loaded, sizzling fajitas, smothered in hot queso.
Yeah. Jeff really was selling the queso.
It was like smooth talking, Jeff Probst.
Smothered in hot queso.
It makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeff does do like the sultry reading of the menu items. Like if he was ever your restaurant waiter, if he reads you the specials, he'd be like, boy, this is uncomfortable.
Like, is he talking to me? Is he talking to you? Is he just talking to himself? I'm not so sure.
Yeah. We have a few different voicemails about the reward for this episode. Let me give you one. Dylan from Brisbane has a question about this.
I like the Australians.
Yes. Here's Dylan from Dylan. Brisbane.
Hey-o, Robbie-o, and hey-o, Kellen-o. Dylan from Brisbane calling. Okay, I've got a couple of things just to go over really quickly. So can we now confirm that Jeff is in fact setting up Jamal to be the host of future seasons of Survivor with his little all the fixins moment tonight? And the second thing is, after that challenge, what did Jack say? He wants to put the W in orange? Or what is that about? Love to hear your thoughts. Bye. Okay.
All right. I don't want to go too much down the Jack rabbit hole. No pun intended. That Jack wants a W for orange. He wants to give orange a W.
Okay. A W.
A lot of talk about the W's. Okay. But Jamal, that he wanted to make sure that there were going to be fixins served with Applebee's, and he wanted Jeff to call it out. Here is Jamal.
Wait, all the fixins? All the fixins?
With all the fixins.
Yes.
Now, I would prefer if Jamal could then make this be his hashtag. What about Jamal the fixins?
Oh, I like it.
Coach is on the Jamal train. I love Jamal. I think that we should go with Jamal the fixins.
I think that rare is there a moment where Survivor airs Jeff Probst getting corrected. And that almost like came across as Jamal being like, yep, I got something, bro. You know, like, and that moment actually made me feel a little bit uncomfortable. Was it just me?
Which part of it?
Well, because I feel like Jeff was like, come on, dude, I just nailed the queso voice and you're going to call me out?
Right, because in terms of correct me if I'm wrong. Now, fixins, like if you're having like a barbecue, fixins are like, I got tomato, I got lettuce, we've got like some onions. Like the fixins for a burger, are we talking like the fajita fixins?
Maybe he was asking about like salsa and sour cream and stuff.
Is that it?
Sense.
Is that a thing? Do you have fixins with the fajita?
Fajita fixins.
Yeah, I guess they, when you get fajitas, they bring you a lot of stuff.
There are lots of fixins with fajitas. I feel like this is a fair point and a fair question by Jamal.
I feel like that you get that. Yeah, it's fajitas. There are everything. Everything's there, Jamal.
Wait, all the fixins? All the fixins?
With all the fixins.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the chef is like, yeah, sure, whatever, dude.
He sounds a little bit worried. Wait, all the fixins, chef? Like,
yes,
like
fine.
It's not going to be good
with
all
those. Shredded lettuce, Jamal. It's there. It's fine. It's fine. We already got you the hot queso. You don't need fixins. Okay.
Oh, that was good.
Then I have another question for you. It comes from one of our great listeners. John Tinkham wants to ask about the world's number one Applebee's fan.
Hey, Robin Kellen. This is John. Have either of you ever been as excited about anything in your entire life as the castaways and Jeff himself seem to be about Applebee's? Also, people on Twitter seem to be thinking that Karishma said her favorite restaurant was Applebee's just to get more airtime. Is it possible that part of the reason CBS cast her is knowing that she is the world's biggest Applebee's fan? Sneaky, sneaky.
Okay. Karishma had this to say about Applebee's when that was revealed that that was the reward.
I love Applebee's.
It does not sound like she is faking it. That sounded like a true, genuine, she loves it.
Yeah, well, that's the short version. She expands.
Oh, I love Applebee's. Applebee's is by far my favorite, like, sit-down restaurant.
Oh, my God, yes.
This is the biggest reward, and we are going to get this.
Applebee's is by far Karishma's favorite sit-down restaurant. And that is a hot take.
That is
hotter than queso.
Oh, she means it too. I think it is more likely that she got cast truly because of her love for Applebee's than the fact that she was making that up. Like, I think that was genuine. I think she loves it.
Kellen, do you feel like, is that possible where they knew that they had an Applebee's reward coming in this season and Karishma goes through casting and is talking about it like, okay, all right, whatever. And she drops this on a casting person.
I love Applebee's.
And wait a second. We got to get her out there. We got to get her out there.
It's just like, yes, we need her right now.
We need her because we're going to do the big Applebee's reward. Now, what's weird about this was this happened before the challenge. And spoiler alert, Karishma was somebody who did not do especially well in the challenge. Her love of Applebee's did not propel her to a epic performance. Like, you would think that, you know, maybe that the adrenaline of the, she was so close to Applebee's, it would have just pushed herself up the hill. But you would think that for Karishma, who
I love Applebee's,
after the challenge was over, you would have thought that she would be like particularly distraught and upset. I mean, Applebee's is her favorite sit-down restaurant by far. Hardly a mention from Karishma about how devastated she must be to be so close to her favorite all-time sit-down restaurant by far, and then not having a seat at the table. No shark bowl for Karishma.
It would have been devastating. Maybe they just didn't have time to show it. Maybe she went back and cried. Possibly. Yes. Although it showed them back at camp. So I don't know. You're right. The buildup. And then you really wanted her to, like, cause she's been so not been great at challenges. Like, you're like, oh man, this is going to get her going. Like, she's going to do this for the fajitas. And then it was just a sad little wobble, wiggle wobble, but for most people.
Yeah. So,
oh, that's so funny.
It didn't work out. Of course, yeah, we've hardly touched on then the coup de grace of any Applebee's experience.
And oh, Applebee's signature drink, the shark bowl.
Oh, the shark bowl.
I think that was Karishma also, that she's very, she seemed to know about the thinking of the shark bowl fondly.
Oh, the shark bowl.
The shark bowl.
Yeah. I've been thinking about it every day.
Yeah.
And that was some great luck. I can't imagine that it did work out that way, but it was some great luck in Survivor casting that they found the number one fan of Applebee's.
The number one. Well, if you ever go back, Kellen, that I feel like that then if they have a Chili's sponsorship, if anybody from Chili's is listening and Kellen is coming back for an All-Star season, then they've got you. Kellen, could you give us your confessional of what it would be like when you see the Chili's reward?
I'd be like, oh my God, is it seriously Chili's? Like, Chili's is my favorite It's my favorite. I'm trying to think of like a, hold on, give me a minute. I've got to think of like their famous name of a drink. don't they do like $5 Margarita Tuesdays or something? Margarita Mondays?
I don't know. They don't charge you for anything on Survivor. So I don't know if the price would be the big selling point.
So it doesn't matter about
yeah.
the...
Yeah.
I love how like the reason why I love Chili's is because it's cheap drinks and because someone else is buying me a meal and I'm taking my doggy bag with me. Like it's so yeah. bad.
some of the Chili's favorites are the Old Timer with cheese. Original full order of ribs. yeah, you don't like the Old Timer with cheese?
What the hell is an Old Timer?
We've got the biggest reward of the season, and it's Chili's.
The Old Timer with cheese.
You're going to have an Old Timer with cheese. Yeah.
Maybe.
What else?
Literally. Well, the funny thing.
All the fixings. With all the fixings. Yes.
Yes, he says.
Yeah. No, I think that that Chili's selling point, and Applebee's executives are going to be right now furious that with their competitor, Chili's, is getting all this free airtime when they paid all the money to be on Survivor.
Yeah, because everyone like who hears about Applebee's, they're like, oh, wait, maybe I should try a chain restaurant again. But probably not Applebee's. Let's hit up Olive Garden or Chili's. Like, probably increase traffic there too.
Yeah. Okay. But the Shark Bowl did deliver for Tommy. Tommy tells us how good that Shark Bowl is.
Walking up to Applebee's was unbelievable because the first thing we saw was the Shark Bowl. Clear ocean blue with a gummy shark on top. We're in the Fiji Islands, and that's just the island drink.
Now, that's just the island drink.
Kelly, correct me if I'm wrong. You revisited Fiji, right?
I did,
yes.
Yeah.
Did you have a Shark Bowl when you returned to Fiji?
I missed out on that. I had a few other island drinks, which probably won't surprise this crew, but I did not have the Shark Bowl, but I wasn't going to the right places.
Okay. Will there be a Applebee's Fiji?
I bet so. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
All right. So there you go. That's I'm on the Applebee's website. Trying to find my local Applebee's.
Loaded
fajitas. That's the entree on Survivor.
Well, that's. I think they have fajitas at Chili's too.
I'm sure they do.
For those of you listening, I just thought of my favorite thing at Chili's is they have Southwestern egg rolls. They're so good. You should go to those. They are a little spicy, though, so your kiddos probably would not like them. Dominic and what's the other one's name? I'm sorry. I'm bad with kids' names.
Anthony?
Anthony. Dominic and Anthony. Dominic and Anthony probably won't love them because they're a little spicy, but yeah. The Southwestern egg rolls, worth the visit.
Yeah. We should have done that. If only we knew, we could have had Dominic and Wendell.
It's probably not too late. I mean, how old is that kid? He'll probably forget.
Yeah. Can I give a hot take of when the downfall of Applebee's and Chili's and the TGI Fridays, the casual dining restaurant? Can I give you that? I'm going to pinpoint chronologically when the arrow started pointing down, when it jumped the Shark Bowl.
Yes, please. I want to know.
I would say that. It jumped, all these places jumped the Shark Bowl at the time that they started having to have the mandatory calorie count on the menu.
Oh, yeah. That was a real bummer when you're like, I'm ordering the Cobb salad from Applebee's and it's like 4,700 yeah. calories.
1,860 calories. Like, wait, what? What? That's when the restaurants stopped being fun.
Well, why does McDonald's not have to do that? Or do they?
Only some places have to do it. It's weird. It's weird. But it seemed like that, like, yeah, like the Chili's, the Applebee's, the Outback, the Fridays.
Oh, yeah. There's like 10,000 calories in that like onion thing.
Yeah. all these places, they got hit real hard by the mandatory calorie count.
I think you are on to something.
And that's what's so fun about Survivor. It's the one time that you don't have to think about these numbers.
That's right. You can go eat your Applebee's in peace and not care that you just swam that shark bowl down your throat for an additional 7K.
Yeah, it's the one time you don't have to worry about Applebee's.
Yeah, it just ruins the experience. Can we track that back?
Sorry.
No. The calorie thing. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, we know it's bad for us. You don't have to have it on the menu.
Yeah, we don't care. We're here anyway.
We're here at Chili's, okay? All right. Let's touch on that. There was something that I haven't gotten to talk a lot about from the beginning of the episode. The episode opens up like a great crime novel where we got to meet a new Survivor character where, you know, a couple of episodes ago, people were like, oh, Purple Dean. And I always say, give it some time, because how could you be Purple Dean when Dean is opening up the episode, telling us about his new character that he is going to be inventing? This is how Dean explains what's going on.
I was completely blindsided by the Chelsea vote out. I absolutely feel left out, ostracized, and like it's absolutely a wake-up call. My boys at home would say, I got.
Yeah, Dean got. All right? And so what is Dean going to do? But he is going to go on a mission.
Dean Kowalski woke up and immediately turned to Detective Dean Kowalski.
You know what I think he discovered, Detective Dean? He's like, I woke up and I just realized I'm actually not on The Bachelor. That's what I think he's discovering.
Yeah, Detective Dean, he's not on The Bachelor.
He's like, oh shit, I ended up on the wrong show.
Yeah. Phil, what did you make of Dean's mission to try to unravel who blindsided Chelsea?
I mean, I think that it's probably important to figure it out, but not so great to be. He's pretty harsh on Missy, right? Yes. He was chatting with Missy and he's like, starts cursing at her. Like,
yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I can't work with you.
First off, he was going through all of the suspects that it could have been, that there was one person Dean knew immediately could not have been responsible for voting out Chelsea.
Detective Dean Kowalski is looking for motive in the Chelsea Walker case. I don't think it's me.
Okay. I don't think it's me. He starts. He can't be sure. It could have been Dean.
I'd really like to rule some people out here.
Yeah.
Maybe myself.
Yes. As you alluded to, he goes to nobody's giving him a straight answer. And he goes to Missy finally. And then I thought he comes in a little hot on Missy, right? I
mean, yeah.
I would think from a position of weakness too. Mm-hmm, he's coming in real hot here with Missy.
I assume it was your shot.
Nobody ordered a hit.
You're telling me you have no idea where Chelsea came from.
I'm not saying I have no idea. I'm saying that it does make sense. And the showmance between you and Chelsea, especially like if people want you out.
Hey, you're talking a lot of nonsense right now.
I'm talking nonsense?
Yeah. Here's my thing. I'm left in the dark and like I'm still not getting a straight answer out of you. Like where this thing came from, I don't know if I could work with you.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Ooh. I don't know if you can work with me.
Missy's gotta be like, dude, you were literally on that truck on the way out of here. Like, move on.
Yeah. Right. We saved you. Don't come in here. And I loved what Missy had to say about Dean after he comes and opens up with that.
I felt good about that blindside. I put it together quickly and people pulled it off. But Dean doesn't take the blindside well. He's mad. Crap, Dean, I kept you here today. You don't bite the hand that feeds you. You really don't. You shouldn't. You really, really shouldn't.
Do you think that Karishma goes to Applebee's and bites the server's hand? No, because you like being served at Applebee's.
Yeah, Missy is right. I don't know. This was like grade F gameplay from Dean coming back here from the blind side. It was really bad. And Missy handled it like the champ that she is.
Yeah, yeah. She was very calm in her interaction with Dean. But yeah, yeah, that is not how you handle the blind side. Kellen, did you... in your season, where in the times that you, as Dean put it, might have got, how do you keep your cool? Mm-hmm.
So I did not get to practice that really. The only time that I was like slightly kind of ish blindsided was when Chelsea went home right before me. Mm-hmm. But always before I knew what was happening. So I didn't have the opportunity to do that. But I guess I think the best thing you can do is try to say, hey, I get it. Great move. Like, when in doubt, compliment right. the people. Like, go around and say, like, oh my gosh, that was awesome. It hurts, stings a little bit, but that was amazing. You guys really pulled that off. Like, who did that? Oh my gosh. Like, who was the ringleader of that? As opposed to like attacking people.
Yeah, I don't know if I could work with you now. Because that blind side, I got a level with you. I don't know if you're one of the people I want to work with now.
Dean
really throughout the whole episode I think was really coming in hot, because then after he lost the challenge where Tommy was able to sink the baskets, then Tommy ends up winning the challenge for the new version of Vokai. But here's what Dean has to say about losing to Tommy.
Can't believe it was to that long pale redhead
I can't believe I lost to that long, pale, redhead, goofball-looking guy. Like, take it easy, Detective Kowalski.
He is frustrated. When you vote out your non-showman's partner, it's not nice. You can't handle it, I guess, Dean.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
Can't believe it's to that long, pale, redhead, goofball-looking guy.
Why is Survivor, it is okay for Survivor contestants to have personal attacks against people with red hair? Why is that the one sector of people that Survivor has, it's okay to come after redheaded people? We had it with Lauren Rimmer way back when with Patrick Bolton. That I would never trust that guy. I never trust a redhead. Now, Victoria is lucky that she got away from last season without anybody coming for her.
Yeah, she dodged that ginger bullet.
Yeah. Dean, add him to the list.
Dean wasn't nice about Karishma either. He said something that was not very nice about Karishma either. So, Dean, better watch. You can't come swinging, Detective Dean, especially when you don't even
Detective
know
Kowalski.
Whether it was your fault or not.
Yeah. Okay, I have a Dean question for you from our one of our voicemailers. This is from one of our longtime listeners, Nick.
Kellen, baby cakes, it's your mayo man. I've got two questions for you. If we were in a showman's together, would we wind up like Dean and Chelsea, or more like Rob and Amber? And when your heart stops fluttering, I want to know which two castaways you would align with on this season and why.
Okay. The mayo jar, Nick Majorano, left a voicemail for you.
Can you play that again, please?
Just I can play that again.
I want to hear the beginning. Please, thank you.
The mayo jar, calling in from, like, maybe from a bathroom on a tin can. Not a great connection, sounding connection for the mayo jar.
Kellen, baby cakes, it's your mayo man. I've got two questions for you. If we were in a showman's together, would we wind up like Dean and Chelsea, or more like Rob and Amber? And when your heart stops fluttering, I want to know which two castaways you would align with on this season and why.
Okay.
All right. Ooh, mayo jar. Loving it. I'm not sure if the fever is from the cold or from that voicemail. Just kidding. I think that we would be more like Dean and Chelsea because they aren't actually even in a showman.
Yeah,
sorry, Nick.
Yeah, so, okay. So much like Chelsea and Dean, that people might perceive, or Dean might perceive, that there was a showman. But according to Chelsea, there was absolutely no showman.
Yes, yes. Although I could get in. If Nick Mayo Jar wants to be my little spoon, I could get in on that. That'd be fine.
Okay. All right. And then, you guys would be
Does that shock you?
does it shock me?
Are you shocked by that?
No, I just don't know. I don't know how to, like, I don't want to imply anything here between you and the Mayo Jar. I know that in previous podcasts, I feel like that he has come up in some of our previous conversations, but I don't know in terms of, if it's a joke, and I don't want to make you uncomfortable.
Oh, it's all a joke. Nick Mayo and I don't think we've ever held a conversation. I don't even think we have each other's numbers.
Okay.
So maybe it would be a Rob and Amber thing if we went out there and played together. I just don't know.
Yeah. Look, well, as somebody who went out there with Rob and Amber, they knew each other before they went out. But from what I understand, the legend of Rob and Amber, that they knew each other through, like, mutual friends. But I don't think that they particularly, I don't think that Amber particularly cared for Rob. It wasn't until that she got out there on Survivor that was when they fell head over heels.
Saw those fire making skills and those this for that negotiation. Yeah.
Hey, in fairness, that he did not get a fire started in when we were out there carrying logs around, maybe, but not that he did not get the fire started.
Well, I love me and Nick's RHAP romance. It's okay. Just perfect.
Hey, look, how do you think Parvati and John Fincher got started?
Another RHAP romance?
I mean, I don't know. I can't take credit for them getting together, but before that was a thing, that was, hey, John Fincher, what do you think of Parvati? Parvati, what do you think of John Fincher? And so that there was a little bit of, like, a circuitous route to those two getting together.
Wow. I did not know about this. I didn't know that you, like, on the down low were, like, hooking up survivors to be, like, married.
So, no, I think that what was that I don't want to take more credit. What I would say was happening there was that they were, like, sort of, like, low key negging one another, using the podcast as a medium for that. I think that was.
Did this really happen? I'm sorry. This was before I started listening religiously.
Yeah. Where I think that there was some talk about where we'd have him, John Fincher come on and talk about the Fincheler. And then there was some talk about how that would Parvati be a contestant on the Fincheler. And then I think then she then poo-pooed the idea of going on to the John Fincher dating show. And so, I'm not taking credit in any way, shape, or form. But,
well, it sort of sounds like you might be, but that it sounds like you may be able to.
Yeah. I'm saying, like, maybe if you and Nick Majorana end up married, then, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I'm just with a kid. Yeah.
No.
Well, that's how this other story turned out.
Oh, golly gee. So, I think Nick seems great. I just don't know him.
Okay.
So maybe you need to make sure you gotta get us in the same place at the same time if you want to get the credit for this one.
Okay. All right. We'll see where it goes. Okay.
Okay. Sounds good. Stay tuned, everyone.
Yes. And then the manager, I want to know, who would you align with and why?
Yeah, love the real Survivor question. So I don't know if it's because Janet and Elaine both are just so lovable, but I'm really craving. I wonder what it would have been like to have, like, women to look up to out on my season. I think there were a couple people that were older than me, but not very much. You know, I was kind of in the old group. And I just love Janet and Elaine both.
Well, yeah, when I talked last week, I talked with Morgan Rickey, and she said that, yes, she aligned with Dominic Abate because she said that he was like the older gentleman on the season.
Yeah, we were like super young.
The grandpa.
He was. I literally have him as Papa Dom in my phone, which he hates, but like literally we call
as,
him like,
as he should.
Yeah, yeah. He probably should. I mean, he could actually like be my brother, definitely not my dad. But we were in a young cast, so I'm feeling like I would love to pick either Janet or Elaine. Mm-hmm. Janet had a secret scene this week. Did you happen? I know it's hard to get to those. But did you happen to watch it?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
She does a secret scene where she's just like, I want to be out here just as myself, not using qualifiers like my age or my gender. And I just want to be like a really great survivor. And I want to show women to be strong and that I can go out and catch fish and do all this stuff. And it was just so inspiring. And so I would say my number one pick would be Janet. And my second choice would be Elaine. If I had to pick someone of the male persuasion, I would probably pick Tommy, I think. Or maybe Aaron.
Yeah. Do you think that Survivor has consciously cast older people? Have we sort of like the pendulum, has it swung the other way where, you know, where for a couple seasons in a row, you know, we had a lot of young people, including, you know, the Michael Yergers of the world. And then, you know, Will Wall was another person who was, you know, an 18-year-old. And I think that the Jessica Pete during the David versus Goliath was like 18 or 19. And it seems like that now, these last couple of seasons that we've done, we don't have that person. There has not been a person under 21 these last couple of seasons. And then we've also had more players who are, you know, I think we have a couple 50 plus in this season and people in their 40s. So do you think that Survivor has really focused on getting more people with more life experience onto the show?
I don't know. It does. I mean, this, just looking at this cast, like, how many people who would you think of as like young, only really, no offense to everybody. I think age is lovely. But like Jack seems.
Who are we offending? We're offending people that are young?
No, by saying like everyone else is old, quote unquote old. Mm-hmm. But
well,
Jack,
I would say that,
is fairly young.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
I think in Survivor terms, I think that, you know, young is like 24 and under. I feel like that's like young in Survivor terms.
Yeah, and our season was like our average age was almost that. Mm-hmm. Like it was really young. So I like to see people who have a few more years under their belt. I actually like it a mix, honestly. Like if there would be, it would be fun to see someone like Michael play with someone like Tom. I think the bigger range you can get, the more exciting it could be. How do you feel about the age thing?
Yeah, I feel like that the age it should just be like the ethnicity, where we should be trying to go for like a cross-section of our society. I mean, that's what the show is supposed to be, of let's take people from all walks of life and then put them together. And it's about, it's supposed to be about people interacting with each other in this, you know, construct, which is taking people that are from all different walks of life that would not potentially be interacting as much in their real lives, and then putting them together for this great experiment. So I feel like that we should be all over the map in, you know, every single box that we can categorize people. And I think that that's when you have the most fun version of the show.
I agree 100% in that. It just makes it interesting to watch people learn about, and sometimes people start to like blend together of who's who, and that's never a good sign if everyone starts to seem the same or act the same or has the same background and that sort of thing. But I do like this cast in general. I feel like individually there aren't too many personality duds.
No, so far. So we've been very lucky so far here in season 39. All right. Kellen, before we get to some more questions from the listeners, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends over at Noom. And Noom has a different approach for people that are looking to either lose weight or have different health goals that they are not able to achieve just yet. Getting in shape is not just about losing weight. It's about having healthier habits and feeling better about yourself, whether that means more stamina to keep up with your busy life or finally getting into those goal genes, being more in tune with your body's needs or practicing self-care. What if you could use one program for all your health and weight loss needs without any more hunting for training apps or workouts or calorie trackers or meal plans? Noom has all that and a goal specialist and a community of members to help keep you motivated and accountable. It's like a workout bestie all in one place. Noom is going to help you set specific goals that you want to achieve or be able to achieve with Noom, not just about losing weight. And they're going to do a variety of things with you, like give you physical examples about how to take better care of yourself, psychological examples, the ability to make healthier choices, and social examples where you don't have to just stay home because you don't want to be tempted. So Kellen, you can head out to all the different casual restaurants that you want to and learn to resist temptation.
Well, you get me in a Chili's, I'm going to need Noom or something to keep me in control.
Noom is going to help you. It's a habit-changing solution that helps users learn to develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses. They say it's based on a cognitive behavioral approach. Noom is not a diet. It's a healthy and easy to stick to way of life. Noom understands you're a human being. If you go off track, there's no shaming, just tips to get you back on track tomorrow. You can chat with your goal specialist and the Noom community to get and give help to people going through the same things that you are. You don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com/Rob. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/Rob to start your trial today. That's Noom.com/Rob. The last weight loss program you'll need. Okay. Kellen, let me ask you this question. We were talking so much about the orange and the purple. Alec has a theory for you about the difference between orange and purple. Let's see what you think about this.
Hey, Rob and Kellen. It's Alec from Orlando. I've got a crazy theory as to why orange buffs might be cursed in Survivor. So as somebody who's struggled with sleeping in the past, I've found that Survivor buffs make incredible sleep masks. I've got a black buff at home, and I've got an orange one. And the black one blocks out light really, really well, and I sleep like a baby. The orange one barely blocks out any light at all. Is it possible that the orange tribe is sleeping worse than the other tribe, and that's causing them to lose more often? I've never had a purple buff, but Kellen, you have. How well were you able to sleep in the purple buff? And is this a serious possibility? Thanks for taking my question. Goodbye.
Okay, Kellen. Could we track down the success of purple versus orange due to purple being less or more translucent? I'm not sure if I have that right.
Transparent?
Well, I always get transparent. Transparent is you can see through. Yes. Translucent, does that mean you can't see through it? I'm going to get tweets about this.
Translucent is you can see through it.
You can see through it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what's the difference between transparent and translucent?
Oh, heck, I don't know.
Okay.
Translucent would be...
There's some light coming through, but it's not clear.
Okay.
It's not like you're wearing a Saran wrap buff.
Oh, like translucent, but transparent is like completely
I think
clear.
So. I think so.
Okay.
We'll see. If I'm wrong, I'll be dragged. So I have that to look forward to.
Well, relax, everyone. This is not an SAT test here. Okay.
Okay.
So this is the same Latin root. Like, we're just doing our best here in life.
Had the purple buff. You had the orange buff.
I had the orange buff. It's okay. That's fair. And I used to love, like, for a while when I came back, like, it totally messes you up. You know, for a while when I came back, I liked to sleep with it on my face still because it's like very comforting to have the buff over your face. But it's fair. My purple buff, though, would be probably translucent. Now, our merge buff was black, and that one definitely was better at keeping the light out. So, hey, it's a really cute question, and I like that you thought about it.
Well, let me just say that I sleep in the buff every single night. And no, listen. I literally sleep with a buff on every night, Kellen. I do it. I have the so the Rob's
Wait,
podcast.
Do you sleep in the buff?
No, I sleep with a
You're
buff
different.
On. It could be both. I sleep with a buff on over my eyes. Because I find it, you know, it doesn't wake me up from, you know, all of these like, ambient lights that are, you know, in the room. And I do sleep with an orange buff. That's what the RHAP patron buff is. It happens to be orange. I am the Rob that sucks. So we have an orange buff.
And, there you go.
You know, I think you just bunch it up. I don't think there's any difference between you don't wear it. Like, yeah, I guess if you wore it, like if I was on Survivor and I was trying to like stop like bugs from crawling in my mouth and stuff like that, and I wanted like to protect all of my orifices from ants, then maybe I would be wearing the buff like a ski mask. But, you know, I wear it like a blindfold and it does, you know, no problems here.
So you don't put it down over your nose. When I was out there, like I really wanted it down over my whole face for the bug situation, but I didn't like it very much. So I usually would still leave my mouth out, which, you know, protein, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if I did it over my face because it's also your buff is like very like sweaty and gross also on Survivor. So I don't know if you really want that. Like it's not ideal to have it over your mouth either.
I mean, mine stayed pretty... I kept mine clean.
You kept it good?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I feel like I did. But yeah, I can't say that would be the reason. I would definitely, the difference in the beaches, I think, can make an impact.
Mm-hmm. But what about this season where that, from what I understand, that the orange does not have the inferior beach? Do you think, is it psychological at this point?
Do you think they're paying attention out there?
Yeah, I think so. I think that when you get the orange buff, you're like, oh no.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we all, you know, you go out there and I think you do manifest some things. Like I've talked to, I thought I would dream about winning, but I don't think I ever walked out there being like, I am going to win this game. And Wendell has told me, sorry, this is sort of a side note, but whatever. Wendell has told me that he like knew that he could win. Like he just knew it. And I think the power of knowing what you're going to do and believing in it is something that plays in to Survivor. So if it does get in your head about like, we're the bad color and we have the bad luck, you might be manifesting that.
Yeah.
Possible.
Yeah. No, I think that is not uncommon with, I think, a lot of the people that, you know, have gone on to win.
Well, I guess next time, if there ever is one, I need to believe that I can achieve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the key is also then being able to execute on it also where, you know, I played the second time I played, I was like pretty sure I was going to win. And then that did not go according to plan either.
Whoops.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Okay. All
anyway,
right.
Cute question. I like that Alex thought about that. That was cute.
Okay, let me give you a question from one of our listeners. Owen in New Orleans wants to talk about the tribe divisions and potentially could the original tribes stay with their original formations after the merge?
Hey, Rob and Kellen. This is Owen calling from New Orleans. Rob, on the know-it-alls, you mentioned you don't foresee Lyro coming back together after the merge and putting up a fight like the Davids did. Definitely inclined to agree with you there. I'm curious, though, y'all's thoughts on original tribe divisions having no sense of theme or connectivity like we have this season and with Ghost Island, or having some character trait like the Davids or champions or contenders. So, Kellen, I'm curious how Navidi held it together. You know, if there was much more effort needed on your part since you didn't have this shared identity, and if you foresee Vokai doing something similar to what y'all did. Thanks for your time, and y'all have a good day. Thanks.
Kellen, this is something that we've touched on over the years on the podcast. So do you think, is there a possibility that where, you know, in David versus Goliath, we saw the Davids end up staying together after the merge. They didn't really turn on each other when they were up against the majority from the Goliaths. Does that have anything to do with they weren't just a tribe where it was like, okay, you 10 people wear this color and this, you 10 people wear this color, that they had something about them that united them? Do you think that that plays a factor?
It might. I don't have anything to compare it to, you know, because mm-hmm. I just had the first 9 days. I think they stayed together an extra episode, right? This Vokai and Lyro.
I think so. I think they might have had more time together. They swapped after 3 episodes on David versus Goliath. But like, what if they called your season is like people who wake up on the left side of the bed versus people that wake up on the right side of the bed? Would that have made any difference for the Malolos who woke up on the left side of the bed?
It might, especially like David's versus Goliath thing. That's like a us versus them,
mm-hmm.
like, and we're underdogs sort of thing. I think that probably did play into their behavior and what happened.
Yeah.
A little bit more than just a color. I don't know what, if we had to do extra work to keep like the Navidi mindset going. But I think it was just because I thought it was in my best interest, and Dom and Wendell were smart and knew it was in their best interest. So mm-hmm. you had 3 very strong players going out and saying like, this is it. This is our family. We're going to do this. And so I think it's more that we had 3 vocal powerhouses. I don't know if I can call myself that, but, like 3 vocal people preaching that, as opposed to, if we were like the Davis versus the Goliaths, we may not have had to work so hard. But yeah, I think for what Owen said, I don't think Vokai is going to come back together. I think it's going to be a fun merge, because if you look at how the teams got split up, the original Vokai, I can't find a tight connection across the camp, except Lauren is still on Vokai. And then she was with Kelly and Janet, who are on Lyro. But I don't see any, I guess Jamal and
Jamal was like, a man to himself after the whole thing happened with Molly.
Yeah. So I don't see any like cross tribal. I don't see Dan and Nora or Jason and Jamal or Kelly and Tommy like looking across the map being like, I can't wait to get back with you. So I mean, maybe I'm missing those bonds, but I think it's going to be a free for all. Once it gets to the merge.
Okay. All right. Let me give you another question. And this is from Brent in Minneapolis. Has a question for you, Kellen.
Hey, yo, Kellen-O and Robbie-O. This is Brent from Minneapolis. And my question for you, Kellen, is about transformation and story. I loved watching you on Ghost Island, and I really loved your story about kind of just launching into the next part of your life after divorce and where your life was at the time. I want to know, who on this cast are you connecting with? Whose story do you like and want to hear more about? And who kind of is drawing you in with their story to root for them? Thanks.
Kellen, do you see anybody in this season that you want to know more about their story?
Thank you, Brent. That was really, really kind. So I thought it was interesting to hear about Karishma's story this week.
Yes.
I find that, I don't know if you guys, maybe you and Steven touched on this, so we don't have to go into it, but like, everyone talks about, like, I went into extreme detail while I was out there about my marriage and my divorce and all this stuff. And like, it comes in moments where you think it will never end up on TV. And I know you're like, you idiot. Like, what do you think? There are cameras everywhere all the time. But in those down times when you can just, you feel it when there's heightened gameplay, and you feel it when you're just sitting around talking. And so I had a lot of sympathy for Karishma, because I can't imagine what that would be like, essentially saying she's probably sitting next to her husband now and having that play on TV. I personally, and like as a Survivor player, I'm like, I feel bad for her in that sense. But as a fan, and as a fan before I played the show, like I would eat that up. I love hearing about real people. I want to know more about them. So I've appreciated Karishma opening up, and it was so sweet to watch like Janet and Jack sit there and listen and like try to understand her situation. If we could go to 90-minute episodes, or if you watch Australian Survivor now, like that is still happening in that, in those seasons where you're building up relationships and people. So I love the Karishma story. I hope that it's going okay in her real life now that came up. And who do I want to know more about?
I thought that actually was very brave of Karishma to talk about her feelings and you know, her very passionate feelings in this episode.
I love Applebee's.
very
brave.
Yes, but you watch Australian Survivor?
I have off and on. I like went back and started to watch just season one.
Yes,
and maybe a little bit of season two, and it was like. So it was like Survivor crack to me. It was like old school Survivor,
yeah,
where you get to know people and the stories are a little bit longer. So I appreciate that.
Okay. And I'm sorry, I cut you off before.
Oh, that's okay.
We were going to, there was another person that you were saying that you are enjoying.
Yeah. So the person who I would want to know more about their story is Nora.
Oh, Nora, please. All I want to do is get Nora's story.
Nora, please. I think she is awesome.
Yes.
I love that she is just like, I can relate to her a little bit. Like she, even though she's getting a bit of like a crazy edit or whatever. She is awesome and like is out there being herself, like was being outcast kind of, but still kept her head up when, I mean, is she a great Survivor player? Probably not, but I am really enjoying getting to know her as a character. And yeah. I just love her. Like, I think she's amazing. I think she's awesome on TV.
How fun was Nora at Tribal Council? Here is Nora when Jeff calls on her at Tribal Council.
Nora, not only do you now have a chance to work with Three of the Lyro, why are you laughing?
Because I feel like you see the wheels turn and you see like the way I'm interpreting over here.
What was happening? You were churning what?
I don't want to miss your question.
No, I got more.
I love that so much. Where she's like trying to like deflect seemingly. Like I don't know why she just started laughing for no. I mean that Jeff doesn't even say anything like remotely humorous, and she just starts like cracking up.
Like she, like she feels like Jeff is like seeing into her brain, but Jeff is like, "Girl, I do not know what." Is going on in there.
Yeah. This is, again, listen, Jeff is not saying anything that's remotely humorous.
Nora, not only do you now have a chance to work with Three of the Lyro.
Like, he doesn't even finish the question.
Oh, I love it, though. She's just being herself. I think we should all be more like...
You live your best life, Nora.
Yeah, let's all be more like Nora. She seems like she's living her life to the fullest and not holding back. And, you know, what's the worst that can happen? People make fun of you a little bit. Well, yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. Nora out here at this tribal council, like she had two shark balls already.
She may. I guess she didn't get any. She just was pretending. I love it. Isn't that great TV, though?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So Nora didn't have a vote at this tribal mm-hmm. council. And we had a lot of questions about the Nora's no vote. Let me give you this question. This comes to us from Natty from Israel.
Hey, Robin Kellen. Natty from Israel here. I was wondering, when Jeff was reading the votes this week, he chose to show 5 Tom votes. But with Nora losing her vote, there were only 7 valid votes, and 4 votes were enough to send Tom home. So in fact, Jeff was sort of covering for Nora. How do you think Jeff decides how many votes to read out? Thanks, love the show.
Okay, so I guess that there was some discussion about, you know, should Jeff have then voted out Tom. You know, that technically, if there were only 7 votes cast, 4 votes would have been enough to make Tom be voted out. But he did. He covered for Nora by reading a 5th vote for Tom, which would, I guess, presume that there could have been a 6th one left in there where he didn't say, all right, 4 votes, that's enough. Tom, the tribe has spoken.
Well, but why does it, I mean, wait, sorry, my brain hurts on this. How would it be covering for her to show one extra?
We, the viewer, knew, okay, there were only going to be 7 votes at this tribal council. Right. So at the time that it gets to 4 votes for Tom, mathematically, he's eliminated. And that's typically... when
I see
the survivor, when Jeff will say, okay, that's
sorry,
enough.
I caught up with the math. Apologies.
What Jeff did was that he treated it like there were,
like you needed 5.
Like you needed 5 votes. And I guess that there were 6 total, with Karishma also being a vote for Tom, when in fact there were only 5 votes, that Jeff did not, you know, allude to the fact that there were no votes left or anything like that. That, do you feel like that is the way it should have been handled?
I mean, if she got away with it, she didn't say anything to anybody.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's good to let her get away with it, or to let anyone get away with that no vote. If you don't have to come clean and you play through.
Yeah.
I think it's okay.
I agree. Because
what do you think?
If they're not even letting her say what she wants to say, like if they're telling her you can't say that Rob and Sandra were part of this, and then they're also going to blow up her spot that she lost her vote, like they're really painting her into a box. So at least, you know, don't blow her up at tribal council when she can't even say the truth. You know, she has to lie about where she was, then at least make her life a little bit easier, and then don't throw that out. Now, in Ghost Island, that from what I remember, the only person that lost a vote was Angela. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. And how was that handled? Did she come back and tell everybody she had no vote? Not to put you on the spot.
Yeah. No. I don't think she told people.
Okay.
I don't remember.
If you don't remember, then it wasn't a big thing then.
Well, it would have been during what? Do you know? Geez, so bad. I was there and I'm asking you, do you know which vote it was for?
Well, could it have been when she had immunity? Could that be right?
I guess what we do know is she didn't come to me and tell me that she didn't have her vote.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think she told anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just did a search, Angela, no vote. I got a bunch of Angela Merkel articles. That was not, not what I was looking for. But basically, there were a lot of different versions of this question for you that were talking about no vote, where Kellen, you were one of the few people that said, hey, not going to play the game. I'm not going to risk it right now. I got too much going on, not playing the game. Do you think we could see any survivor this season follow in your footsteps and tell Rob and Sandra, I cannot lose my vote?
If it happens, it'll be in like the next episode or two. There's a chance in the pre-merge that somebody may say like, thanks, but no thanks. But after the merge, I think you always have to go for it after the merge.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we role play this? Okay. We're on the island of the idols and here you are, instead of just like, okay, now you get to read a parchment and, do you want to like, crack open one of these coconuts or the boxes?
What was in
front
season?
Of you? Yeah. Bamboo. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which one of these is okay. Now it's, hey, Kellen. All right. We got a challenge for you. You're gonna get an idol, and then you can potentially lose your vote. What are you gonna do
for an idol? I would definitely
It'll be play. For good for two tribal councils.
I would play for an idol, but I didn't know what advantage I was playing for. Sorry, Rob. This is a different Boston, Rob. This is a different situation than I was in. If it's for an idol, for
How
sure.
How about I sweeten the deal? How about I throw in a shock ball?
With an extra gummy?
And the coupon for $25 off at Chili's.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, now you would do. I guess my question is, like, could you could say no to Bamboo, but could you say no to Survivor icons that were peer pressuring you into, like, come on, you know you want to play?
Probably not. Wouldn't have been able to say no to Rob and Sandra. Probably not. If they were pressuring me.
Yeah. I don't think anybody will refuse them until, and this is the scenario where I could see it happening, Callan. So Elizabeth comes back, somebody that's already been burned by this before, and then says, hey, now I'm not putting my hand back on the hot stove. You taught me how to make a fire, and I know I'm not going to touch this stove that's hot because I've already been burned. Fool me once. That's it. Shame on you. But I'm not doing it again. No way, Jose.
It's possible, but you know who I think would do it again?
Nora. They tried to stop her last week. They were trying to talk her out of it. And she was like, that's it. No, I'm in. They're like, wait, hold on. Don't you know more about it? She said, no, I'm good.
See, I love to play out the idea of, like, in my actual situation, if I was able to ask Rob and Sandra, like, look, I'm in the strong majority. It's 5-4. The four isn't splitting up. Like, that would have been so fun to have them there to talk it through. Cause I was just standing there for probably like 45 minutes talking to myself. Mm-hmm. Like, what do I do if I lose this? Da, 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 da. So it would have been more fun to have Rob and Sandra out there for sure.
Okay.
I don't think anyone will say no, especially if they know it's for an idol. Like, would you ever say no? Risk a vote for an idol? Because, like, even if things go awry, I don't know.
How many players, though, get voted out because they don't have a vote? Like, have we seen that before? Like, I kind of feel like that. Who has been the worst person that they got burned that they didn't have a vote?
Honestly, it would probably not be, like, it would probably not be like in that tribal. Yeah. It would probably be like the next tribal because they lost someone or something. And my survivor brain doesn't work that well.
Yeah. I think where it would really burn you is if Nora was one of the people, and it would have been great to see if Nora ended up on the group that ended up having the 4-4 split. Where that they would have been like, all right, well, it's our four versus their four. And Nora would have had to say, guys, about that.
That's what my situation would have been, right? If I had lost my vote, I would have to go back and be like, so I done screwed up here. Because now we can't stick together necessarily because it's going to be 4-4. Like, that's what kept me from playing that game.
Yeah. And so I don't know how they would play. I think it would have been way more interesting. And I wonder, Kellen, is it possible that that this next episode of Island of the Idols, I mean, this could really be very interesting if somebody that's from that side that has 4-4 ends up going to the Island of the Idols, because there could be very high stakes in if the person loses their vote. Like, maybe is could that be the scenario where somebody says no? Like, if Elaine goes to the Island of the Idols and come on, Elaine, you know you want to do it. Like, no, I can't.
It would only be Elaine and Elizabeth, because we know that Missy and Aaron are already jumping ship.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe she might need the idol. Like, I mean, that could be very high stakes for somebody next week.
Do you think Elizabeth and Elaine know that Aaron and Missy are willing to just be like, I'm out?
So Elaine in the episode talked about how when they went to the Applebee's reward, that, I mean, Misty was actually very open about Orange is done. We're all about, this is our group. So she was actually her conversation with Aaron, she talked about it more, but she was very vocal about how into this new group she was. And Elaine was why are you saying that to everybody? We don't know these people. And
yeah, so cute.
Elaine seemed more uneasy with that idea and felt and may have felt like that Missy is making tighter connections.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that. I mean, if you are going to jump ship, you sure as heck don't want your original tribe to know you're going to do so. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a little bit of a sloppy play on Missy's part, probably.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Sammy Lambert wants to know, would you rather have predictable players like Tom or wild card Karishma? If you were one of the people from the old Vokai who were making the decision, what would you have done, Callan?
So between Tom and Karishma, I would definitely, Karishma wanted to be loved and brought in. And I feel like that's my special sauce. When somebody feels down and out or alone or whatever, I feel like I would know how to get Karishma to do what I wanted better than Tom. Seems like he's going to do what he wants to do and you're not going to convince him of much. So I feel like Karishma seems more malleable.
Right.
And she doesn't seem that unpredictable, in my opinion. I think she just seems like she's probably predictable. She just needs a home.
Yeah. And that home.
I love Applebee's.
Yeah. I mean, Karishma loves Applebee's. It does not take much to make her happy, okay?
That's right. She's easy to bring
She's
in.
She's so. Easy to please. So I don't know what everybody's issue is with just making her happy. When she cuts her hand open, she wants you to look at it. She wants loaded fajitas and a shark ball. And that's it. She's an easy customer.
That's all you need. Just look at her bone and throw her a chicken wing. And that's all you need.
Yeah. Speaking of chicken wings, let me ask you this question that comes to us from somebody who ran into you recently. Alex Laventhal says, did you have fun at Run It Up Reno? Thank you for offering me your leftover buffalo wings. It was nice to meet you.
Believe it or not, I remember.
Yes, you're out there giving buffalo wings to fans.
Yeah, well, okay. First of all, the portions at the Peppermill Resort, very nice place
to stay.
You make
me jealous. Yeah.
I recommend it to anybody.
And they don't put the calories on the menu.
No calories on the menu. The desserts are the size of your head. It's amazing. And I was having some late night hot wings.
Yeah. Who was taunting me and sending me pictures of you eating a giant ice cream sundae with Boston Rob?
Dom maybe?
Yes. Yes. I love the restaurants there.
So we were at Cafe Milano. Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
At Peppermill. I do not remember which day it was. Mm-hmm. That tells you a little bit about my trip. But I was eating some chicken wings and this group comes up and they know who we are. They must have been Survivor fans. This gentleman, lovely gentleman. And I had ordered a thing of chicken wings, but they gave me 24 wings or something. I can eat about 4 wings in a sitting.
Yeah.
And so these fans came up and said, hey, how's it going? And I was like, well, do you just want my wings instead of having to order, which now that I'm sick, good job on turning down my chicken wings.
Mm. Oh yeah. He said no.
Yeah. He said no.
Oh, so
I'm
basically that you were like Ghost Island and Alex was you.
Maybe he said yes. I don't remember.
I mean, he's thanking you for them.
Oh no. My
Alex, write in. Let us know if you're ill now.
Yeah, actually, I think they said no, but politely.
Oh, well, he says, thank you for offering your leftover buffalo wings. That makes sense.
I think they were like, no, we're good. And this was probably at 2 a.m. So you can imagine, I was a little, I'd been up for a while, so I was tired,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
So yeah, I did offer my chicken wing. See, I'm a friendly girl.
Yeah. I don't, is anybody saying you're not friendly?
I don't think so, yeah. Actually.
Okay. I think that's sort of your MO, friendly. let's see. John, our own John wants to know, are chiropractors legit? Do you have any insight into this?
Wait, why is
that? That was what Boston Rob wanted to know. He was asking that to Kelly.
Oh, I love the chiropractor and acupuncture. I actually just went to acupuncture this morning to help give myself a little boost to get over this cold.
Wow. And that
works? Chiropractors are amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm making it through this like marathon. So, yeah. You know, it must have done something.
You're doing good.
Doing great.
Yeah. Okay.
I love the chiropractor. Do you frequent a chiropractor, Rob?
No, I've never been to chiropractor or acupuncture.
If I had to choose, I would choose acupuncture over chiropractor, but I like both.
I think I'd be up for it. I mean, if you're going to stick me with a needle and something is going to happen, I think I'm up for it. What do I have to lose?
It doesn't feel like getting a needle. Yeah, what do you have to lose? It's not like an actual needle. It's like a very thin needle, so don't be scared.
That's fine. Fran writes to say, what do you think Rob and Sandra's roles will be after the merge? Won't too many people know what's going on for someone to keep going to the IOI? Do you think that after the merge, we'll see anything change in terms of the Rob and Sandra factor?
Like they're going to start like showing up at public.
Will it not be a secret maybe? Like is that possible?
Hut will like fall down and they'll just be like sitting on a pedestal up there.
I mean, could the merge feast be like at the Island of the Idols? Could we do anything with that?
Like with them? I don't think they'll do that. Do you?
Well, at some point, I feel like there's going to be a reveal that, hey, it's Rob and Sandra. Like, I feel like that.
Maybe.
It seems odd. Okay, so we've had everybody where, all right, keep it a secret. Don't say anything about Rob and Sandra. Or whether it's, hey, make sure you don't tell anybody about us. So,
it's so weird.
So it hasn't been a thing. But at some point, like, you would think in this season, it's going to be a thing. People are talking about, like, hey, did Rob and Sandra tell you blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, well, and Nora and Kelly, they're the two that have been now, and they're on the same tribe, which also I meant to add that to why Kelly's in a great spot, because she also, I bet, has bonded with Nora over Rob and Sandra. I bet they've talked about it in private.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe, wouldn't that be fun if they, like, served, like, put on little Survivor chef hats and serve the merge feast?
I love Applebee's.
How fun would that be if you were like an OG fan and you like go make it to the merge and Rob and Sandra are there?
Mm-hmm. And are they bringing me food? Is it like you at Run It Up Reno where I get buffalo wings?
Handing out hot wings?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. does Jamal ask Boston Rob if there are all the fixins there?
I'm sure.
All the fixins?
Yeah, fine. Okay. Wait. Jamal, fine. All the fix-ins. Okay. Let's see another question for you, Kellen. Hunter, not Ellis, says, is it officially time to change Kellen's Twitter handle? You guys should do it on the show. It can't be worse than KS Becto. Come on. Come on, Hunter, not Ellis. Your Twitter handle's not that great.
Yeah, Hunter, not Ellis, throwing shade on the internet with a fake photo. Come on, show your face. But I did retweet it, so I'm just kidding, Hunter, not Ellis. It's cool. It is time. It has always been time.
It's always been time.
I just cannot find something that I really like.
Yeah. All right. Well,
did anyone send any good suggestions?
Nobody had any good suggestions.
See, that's the thing. Should I just become like at Kellen Bechtold instead? Is that better?
Oh, is that an option?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I would definitely do that. Yeah, if you could just be your name, that's way better than KS Becto.
I mean, who else is Kellen Bechtold in the world?
Yeah. Well, if you could get it, then you should do it.
Oh, see, I didn't know it was a thing. I thought you were supposed to be like fun and creative.
Well, I mean, KS Becto is creative. I don't know how that is it more fun or creative? What would you say?
Oh no, somebody has it. Kelly in Bechtold.
Okay. Yeah.
If you Bummer. Can... Sorry, this is boring to follow along with on the podcast. Ooh, I just found out that I never knew that I had someone like fake Twitter or Instagram accounts with my name.
Oh, what do they post on their fake Instagram accounts?
I'm just now looking. This is scary.
Yes. What do they post?
18 followers. TXR.Kellen with two N's has 18 followers. And my bio says, I already won! Exclamation point, exclamation point.
Yeah.
That one's nice.
Yeah. Okay. That is nice.
And then Kellen Bechtold, Kellen II.Icons has 46 followers.
Yeah. No, I was recently annoyed about this because that somebody has Rob has a podcast on Instagram, which made me very annoyed.
Those turds, they just did it to like, so you have to pay them money.
Oh, is that what they do it? Because then, because there are some like reality people that follow Rob has a podcast on Instagram. And I'm like, no, you're tricking people.
Yeah, well, they do that. So then you'll go and you'll DM them. Oh, and
I
say,
did.
Hey,
I did slide into their DMs.
And they said nothing?
They didn't say anything.
All right. Who's doing this? John John, is it you?
John John. Why would it be John John?
I don't know. It was the only fan whose name I really...
Yeah, everybody knows John John.
I've got to be careful. Yeah, everyone knows. His name came to me the first. No, it wouldn't be John John.
Yes. Okay. Kim Dunaway wants to know, what could someone from Malolo have done after the swaps that could have saved them? Was there anything that you think Tom could have done?
Yeah. Say, I want to jump ship and I want to work with you.
Yeah.
Like, this is why I'm a good member to your majority. Mm-hmm. Like, this is why you should keep me over those other fools. You have to, if you are in the minority, you have to turn on your other people. Quick.
Yeah. Okay. Kellen, I got another question for you. Okay.
Oh,
this
no.
is from Paolo from Edmonton. One of our great Canadian listeners has a question for you. And here is Paolo.
Hi, Rob and Kellen. This is a quick question. I am Paolo calling from Edmonton, Canada. Kellen, do you hear Laurel or Yanni? Thank you.
Why on earth... Paolo from Edmonton felt the need to call in with a Laurel versus Yanni take. How many years is it? 2 years ago for your season? A year and a half ago?
Yeah. It was like January through June.
Yeah, the
of
beginning 2018. Of 2018.
Yeah.
Here we are, a year and a half after Laurel versus Yanni, which happened during your season.
Paolo can't sleep up there in Edmonton. He just like needs to know.
No mention of Laurel this episode or Yanni on this season. That's what Paolo wants to talk about. What do you hear?
I hear Laurel.
What about, do you see the white and gold dress or the blue and black dress?
Oh, crud.
Call back next week, Paolo, and then we'll ask.
Yeah, sorry. I'll get back to you. And I forget. I think, what's the one that's the most common? I'm usually not, like, cool.
Yeah. That's the white and the gold dress.
Yeah, I probably saw white and gold.
Okay. This is a question from Amy from Indiana has for you about... you know Amy from Indiana?
Yeah, I do. Hi, Amy from Indiana.
Okay. Here's her question for you.
Hey, KB and Robbio, it's Amy from North Manchester, Indiana. Kellen, if you had been sent to Island of the Idols, what advice do you think Sandra and Rob would have given you? Love you, girl. Thanks, Rob. Bye.
Okay.
Aw, North Manchester, that's where I'm from originally. Yeah, how fun. What advice would Rob and Sandra have given me? I think that they would have been like, girl, what are you doing? You need to like take this game by the horns. I think they would have been able to tell that I was slow playing it and taking it too easy. I think they would have probably been able to call me out on that pretty early.
Well, do you think that Rob and Sandra, as I was talking about before, of other things being a reaction to Ghost Island. And I don't mean to imply that your season was a bad one, because I very much enjoy just about everybody from your season. So that, do you think, though, that if there was a situation where, okay, you know, Dominic and Wendell sort of have everybody boxed out and it's kind of like a march to the finish line for them, that do you feel like that Rob and Sandra out there could prevent that type of thing from happening?
I actually, yeah, because also Sebastian went too and didn't make a move. You know, I mean, he went and got the extra vote or whatever, but I do think that Rob and Sandra might push people to like play harder and to help them with their delusions, right? They are experts at the game. I think they could call out when someone was either playing too easy or thought they were too comfortable or whatever. If they're giving them enough time out there and people are able to tell what's actually happening, especially because Rob and Sandra are going to start picking up on the story, right? Rob and Sandra could see from their palace hut. They can watch. They're watching Tribal. They're going to start putting stories together. I think their ability to influence the game is going to get stronger as the time goes on.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting. I do wonder, and then what, like, if just to put Rob and Sandra out there on Ghost Island, then like, what if Dominic or Wendell came to Ghost Island to talk to Rob and Sandra? Like, what would they tell them? Would they tell them, like, hey, you got to get rid of Dominic or you got to get rid of Wendell? Where they should would they have advised those two to, you know, get rid of their ride or die? So I think it's interesting. I mean, it's less organic, certainly, but I wonder if it sort of is built in where we're not going to have like a very predictable outcome, because if there's something that we're all screaming at the TV, you do have these like avatars out there that can be able to maybe say what we're thinking.
Whew. It starts to get real, like a lot of food coloring in the water that makes me feel uncomfortable. But at the same time, yeah, what would have happened if Dom would have sat down with Boston Rob and Sandra?
Hey, like, would let's they take said? A picture of eating some ice cream and send it to Sestanino. Oh, that's what happens if they literally sit down.
It's possible. Yeah, it's really interesting of like, would the game have been different? Oh man, I don't know. What do you think? That's so, I'm just so curious.
Well, I don't know. I also feel like that, you know, that there were so many comparisons from comparing Dominic to Boston Rob that you guys had in your preseason and stuff. So now it's like, oh wait, Boston Rob is really here? Like, oh okay, well this guy could be the next Boston Rob. I better vote him out. You know, I think it's so many different things that, you know, would change based on Rob and Sandra being out there.
It's crazy how like all those little dominoes fall and how different things could turn out if one thing went a different way. It's crazy to think about. But maybe ultimately Wendell was meant to win. You know, the winners maybe are just ultimately meant to win. And no matter what happens, they're always going to end up taking home the money. I don't know.
Yeah. So... let me ask you, what do you think of this Twitter handle? Okay. What about instead of KS Becto, what about your new adopted Twitter handle is Kellen Bees? And then your Twitter bio is tweeting good in the neighborhood.
It's pretty good.
Because you're Kellen B.
I am Kellen B. That is one of the things I've looked up, is if I could be Kellen B. K-E-L-L-Y-N-B-E-E. But doesn't that seem like too flowery or something?
Too flowery. Kellen B. Kellen B. Tweeting good in the neighborhood.
It's probably, sadly, better than KS Becto.
Wow. I mean, it's hard to go backwards.
Oh, gosh. It's so much pressure to change
you could be KS underscore Becto.
Why would that be better?
That would be worse.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was like, ooh, I really have it bad if you're throwing out one with an underscore.
Yeah, or God forbid, KS Becto underscore.
It was right at the end there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could try to go back to like Volleyball Girl 7. That's what I was in like my AIM name.
Volleyball Girl 7. I didn't know you were a volleyball player.
I was on the team. It was about as far as it went.
That's your Reddit name?
No, my AIM name.
Oh, AIM name.
Back in the day.
Oh, there's an AMA name. Yes. Okay. Volleyball Girl 7. Were there six other volleyball girls? Or that was on the team? You were the seventh person in the lineup.
I was number seven.
Number seven. That's lucky.
I loved lucky number seven. That's my lucky number.
Although did you finish seventh place?
I did.
Yeah.
Whoops-a-daisy.
So you manifested that. Wendell was out there. I'm number one. You're out there. I'm literally number seven.
Oh, so true. Okay. Well, I'm still open to new. I'll know it when I see it on the handle thing.
Yeah. Okay. Kellen,
Kellen and Bees.
Then we have a question for you from Cliff from Binghamton has a voicemail question for you.
How you doing, Rob and Kellen? This is Cliff from Binghamton. Kellen, I'm sick of seeing you at the bottom of the standings in the Rotten Coconuts Fantasy Football League. You need help. You need a liaison. You need to make some changes. You need to hit the waiver wire. Like, seriously. Chris Hammond at the top of the standings, awful. Just brutal. Be better. You can do it, Kellen.
Be better. You can do it. There's also, I got a tweet that comes from Phil Thompson. Does Kellen believe she will make the playoffs in the Rotten Coconuts Fantasy Football League, which is the Survivor Fantasy Football League that Kellen and I are both a part of? And Kellen, how has your year been?
To take it from Missy, I took home a W last week.
Yeah, you got a W. Okay.
I got a W. Okay. So I am feeling like really terrible still. That one W did not help. And
yes.
Go to the waiver wires. I've spent some of my money and I've accepted trades from yours truly.
Yes.
And I check it every week and make sure nobody, I'm just having bad luck. And then poor my quarterback, he's hurt.
Who is your quarterback here? Team first and 10-2 is Matt Ryan. He's hurt this week. They downgraded him to out. He's out this week, Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay. Oh, I got to make a contingency plan.
Wait.
I haven't been in a different league. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was like, see, this is the problem. I don't understand how this works.
Yeah. It's a good thing we talked about this.
I'm not. Oh, yeah, you're welcome. See, that's the other thing, too, is I also saved Rodney one time this week because I was like, oh, my gosh, you're so something, something. I was about to beat you if only you didn't change your lineup. And he texts me. He's like, oh, I'm in Miami. Thank you so much. I would have forgotten my lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, of course. So I'm helping you. I'm helping Rodney. I don't know. I'm just not meant to be.
Well,
a
we
winner.
Made a trade. I wouldn't say that you're not helping me.
Well, other people proposed trades and I said, no, thank you.
Well, did you not like them?
I just didn't trust them as people.
Yes. Okay. Well, I appreciate you trusting in me.
Of course I trust you, Rob. I feel like, see, Dalton, I think, proposed something and I was like, I don't think so. And Rodney proposed something. I was like,
yeah,
this can't be good. This is only good for them. I trusted that you were. And I like looked up, Googled like one of the person's names and I was like, oh, they're like, okay, so sure.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And I have a very big matchup. I feel like that there has not been a lot of talk about this. My team 6-1 versus Chris Hammond 6-1 this weekend. It's the fantasy football matchup of the year.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Team Brett's a loser versus come on Godwin for the uncontested number one in the power rankings this week.
That's huge really game. Exciting.
Okay. We're losing people to talk about the fantasy football league. All right. So
You're losing me, Rob.
Sorry,
you're
sorry, losing Kelly. Me.
No, I'm kidding. You aren't. I'm just saying that's how bad I am at it.
All right.
I don't even care.
So what do you think? Twitter handle Kellen Bees tweeting good in the neighborhood. Is that a consideration?
It's a consideration.
Okay. And then first tweet with the new handle, hashtag Jamal the Fixins.
Jamal, you are... Applebee's should hire you. You are... Just exactly what
hire
they were
what,
hoping
to,
for.
To be a server?
Yes. You really
love Applebee's.
Just don't serve Dean.
Yes. Dean's on a timeout after this week. Detective Kowalski.
I'm sure he's a great guy. I was pretty hard on Dean.
Okay. Well, sometimes he deserves it.
Sometimes you deserve it.
Okay. Kellen, what's next for you? You're going to get better.
I'm going to get better. Yes, I am really trying to turn up my career coaching business at the Self Coach.
Yes.
So I learned my lesson in my personal life about bad handles. I got the Twitter handle and the Instagram handle at the Self Coach right as soon as I had the idea.
Self Coach.
The Self Coach. Yeah. It's about like, you know, a lot of people like do career coaching and stuff like that. And
did
ask
you
people to pay like
attempt to get the Twitter handle, the_real _coach.
I tried that first and then landed on this instead.
You don't have like very scripted coaching, do you?
No, because
that's not that. I hear that's not,
all.
That's not good.
No, and I don't make people pay me like thousands of dollars to like put me on retainer or anything. I really want, I taught myself, coached myself into like getting on Survivor, getting out of a divorce, doing all this life transition stuff. And I really like to help people kind of figure out how to get themselves out of a rut or where they want to be. So I'm working on that, which is really exciting. I've had some new clients who I adore very much. So that's exciting. And yeah, the holidays are coming up. It's going to be a good season.
The holidays are coming up. What, like,
well,
like Christmas?
Halloween.
Yeah. Are you a big Halloween? A Halloween person?
I love dressing up. It's really fun, but I'm afraid since I've been under the weather, I probably need to lay low this year.
What are you going to be?
Well, I'm always Snow White because my mom made me a dress when I was in sixth grade and it still fits. So I just, I'm always Snow White.
You're always Snow White. You wear the same costume every year. That's so adorable.
It's really nerdy, but it works.
Yeah. Every year you wear the same costume.
If I dress up, I am just the same person. One night one Halloween I went, it was like freezing in Chicago when I lived there, and I went out as Christmas morning and I had like footy pajamas, like Christmas pajamas, and put like a bow in my hair. Yeah. But other than that, Snow White year after year.
Does your mom make you wear the costume that you made? Like, was she guilt you if then you didn't wear it?
No, not at all. Yeah. Not at all. I
so
do it
choice.
Because I like it. It's my choice. It's very well made. I mean, it was made in like 1991 or something. Mm-hmm. So go Mama B.
It's held up.
Are you going to dress up for the, is it like a secret?
Yes.
Are you guys like the, Tom Brady and Giselle?
We're nothing like Tom Brady around here. we do have a family that we've had for a few years now, family themed costumes. Yeah, we're of the Super Mario family.
Oh, cute.
Yes, my two sons are Mario and Luigi. And then Nicole is the princess, and I am Bowser the dragon.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. So we've got that going on.
That's really cute. Your boys aren't old enough yet to like play Mario Kart and stuff.
Oh, no, they do. We do. We do play that.
Oh.
Yes. It's a big hit. We're very into anything Mario. We're very, very, very excited about that. but I have to wear my costume. I like to take my kids trick-or-treating. That's fun. You know, I feel like, you know, there's a big disagreement between my wife and I. My wife celebrates Halloween 30 times in the month of October, whereas I feel like, okay, let's just do it right once. Let's make a big fuss on Halloween Day, and then it's not as special if we did it 100 other times. She feels that way about other things in our relationship. Feels like maybe it might be more special if only once in a while, but no. Halloween, that's that one we can do, you know, every other day, have a Halloween party.
Well, don't they do that with, like, you have it with your mom's group, then with this group, then with that group, and then the neighborhood, yeah. And then the
we've been to like five trunk or treats, and yeah, and so I'm supposed to go tomorrow to one, and then I was told, oh yeah, you have to wear your costume. Like, really? I'm wearing the costume multiple days.
Yeah, see, just wear the same costume once a year is That's better right. than having to wear the same costume multiple times in the same year.
Yeah. And I know we're way off the beaten path here, but you know what else stinks about Halloween costumes? There's no pockets. Maybe Snow White. Maybe you have in your Snow White cloak. Maybe you have pockets. But you know what? I have a phone. I have a wallet. I have keys. Like, there's no pockets in a Halloween costume.
And Bowser, like, can you get
right?
Like,
I don't think I'm
going to
have dragon
like,
pockets. So what am I going to? am I just going to walk around with all my stuff, or then am I just going to
like put it in a pumpkin?
Oh, great, great. So it's not my favorite day. Although eating your kids' candy is fun. That's the one thing.
Yeah, isn't that? I mean, that would be great. You could like pick out all of the good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your number one?
Reese's
candy?
Peanut butter cup.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, and they don't put how many calories are in it right on top of
who cares?
You know, at least not on the fun size. That's how they keep it fun. They don't have room to print that. Okay, Kellen, this was so fun to catch up today.
It was so fun. Thanks for keeping me company in my quarantine.
Yes, okay. Well, that's the nice thing about podcasting. You can't get anybody else sick.
No.
Yeah.
And it was nice because I'm like just starting to feel better, but not. I had to miss my girlfriends are all out to dinner right now.
Were they going anyplace good?
I love Applebee's.
No, they're getting Chili's? On that 2 for $25 Chili's train.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Well, I'm sorry you had to miss out on all of the fun, but it was fun to get to talk through all this stuff with you.
It was so fun. I've been looking forward to it. I really hope this season gets a little fire in it between now and the merge. But I have a feeling we're going to be in for a really good merge. So everybody hang in there. It's going to get good.
Okay. Hang in there, everybody. Yeah, don't go anywhere. We still got a lot coming up. Still got a lot coming up this weekend. Now, I've got the Wiggle Room coming up. Now, Josh Wiggler keeps saying that he owes you a Wiggler's Wombat's hat.
Yeah. So I have like shamelessly asked like three times and okay. No hat.
Email me your address and then we'll get the hat. Cause I have all the hats here. Josh has some, but I have all the hats here in the shipping that we do over here. So
maybe I can start listening again then.
Oh, you've been boycotting the Wiggle Room because you don't have a hat.
Yes.
Okay.
No, not really. It's a lot. You work hard. You are a hardworking man.
Yes.
And it's such
Thank
great
you.
Content.
I do. Well, a lot of people, you know, work as hard as I do. I just have like the work that I do just gets distributed to a lot of people.
Well, good. Cha-ching.
You know,
I
there's other people that work, you know, harder than me. They just work in an office and you don't know what they're doing.
Fair. But no, I should go back. I like to... I just skipped to the. I used to love the Wiggle Room too.
You don't like just the wand off?
No, I like to skip to the wand off sometimes. People are so creative.
Yeah.
And it's just really fun to listen. I don't know. I like it. I love it as a Survivor fan. Wiggle Room, solid content. And I will pick back up.
Yeah. And did you want to come back and play the This Week in Survivor History quiz?
Mmm.
Yeah. Or this is a better clip. Kellen, did you want to come back and play the This Week in Survivor History quiz?
Not really.
Not really.
Yeah.
No, I love Jordan Kalish and the This Week in Survivor History, but I got so nervous.
Yeah, that's okay. Don't worry about it.
I'd be happy to.
Yes.
Maybe next year.
Okay. That's coming up this weekend, plus the most recent episode of Robin and Kiva Need a Podcast, where we watched Leprechaun 2. Kellen, have you ever seen the Leprechaun movies?
No. Is it scary?
Not really. Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah. And then,
is it a children's movie?
No, definitely
not really.
Yeah, no. And so, yeah, Leprechaun from the 90s. We're watching that on Robin and Kiva Need a Podcast. And then I'll be back with did you get to hang out with Tyson at all in Reno?
I did meet Tyson. Yeah.
He was busy playing poker.
Yeah. But yeah, I had a great time at Run It Up Reno. I was sort of a sidekick. Like, I wasn't officially there because I couldn't make it for the Survivor event, which is a bummer. But we had a really great time. I like the Pepper Mill Resort. It was so fun, and had a really great time with Tyson and others who were there.
Yeah. I have no idea what Reno is like because I don't leave the hotel in the times that I've been out there. So I'm sure it's lovely, but I know what the airport is like, and I know what the Pepper Mill is like.
Well, I know what the Chase Bank is like as well.
Yeah. Tyson and I will be back with more News AF as well, our weekly rundown of all the most interesting news stories from the week on News AF. And Stephen and I will be back together with our know-it-alls this Wednesday night. Of course, all this is made possible by the amazing patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. If you want to get access to our patron-only podcast feed and our patron Facebook community and much more, head on over to robhasawebsite.com/patron. Kellen, thank you again. Really appreciate you making some time for us this weekend.
Thanks, Rob. I had a great time.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you guys for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.